If you're just joining us today for the first time or just recently, just want to welcome you here today. We're going to be picking up on the subject we've been talking about for the last few weeks, at least that I have had the opportunity to talk about, in regard to prayer and fasting. Jesus said this kind comes not out except by prayer and fasting. There's a need for God in our lives. There is a need that we all must come to realize that to be the people God made us to be and to do the things God made us to do, we need His grace. Without His grace, we are lost. No matter how much knowledge we have, no matter how much we've attained to in understanding or study or in works, without God, it is meaningless. Because God is love. And from the beginning, He was love and He was light. And from the beginning, He had a plan to transform us into the image of His Son. They said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. That happens by the grace of God in our lives. Two of the greatest epiphanies that we come to in our lives, the greatest understandings that we come to before Almighty God, is how we are lumps of clay in need of a potter to form and shape us day by day. And if we are going to be the people that God has called us to be and created us to be, we need to be living and walking in His grace and in His power for all the ministry and the service to God, to our Lord Jesus Christ, to our neighbor. Without the grace of God, how can we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Without the grace of God, how can we love our neighbor as ourselves? Turn with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 58. Picking up on where we were reading last week, in Isaiah chapter 58, speaking of the fast, he said, is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness? You see, as we come before God, as we go through fasting and prayer, the point of it is to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? Isn't that what fasting is? To let go of the flesh and the self-preservation and to give to someone else. No one demonstrated this better than Jesus Himself, who thought it not robbery or something to be held on to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation. He came form of a servant. And being in the likeness of man, He humbled Himself to the point of death. Last week, as we were talking about what it is to be crucified with Christ, we talked about one of the ways that we are crucified is when we lay down our time in kneeling before God and beseeching Him on behalf of another. For all the things that we could run off to do in our lives. For all the places we might want to go, the amusement parks, the entertainments of this world, our work, our energies, wherever we might want to go, we actually find life for our neighbor. We actually find life for ourselves when we come before the presence of God, that we become built up in our most holy faith, that we become the people that God called us to be. He told His disciples who could not cast out the demon, you couldn't do it because of a lack of faith. But faith is something that can be built by a relationship that you have been called to by God. God will show you He is all-powerful. God will show you that He is perfect love. God will show you that you can trust Him, that He is committed, that He cares. And friends, you have been called to know the glories of God and to bring the glory of God into the lives of other people. The church is not to be a place where we come that we have arrived because we have a newfound belief that stays within ourselves. It is a belief that has to be shared. It is a belief that has to be passed on. It is a belief in which we should have no shame about what we believe, but we believe in Him, the great Creator and the Savior of us all. It is our God, our Maker and Creator, who has called us to know Him, to come before Him. And He said, isn't this what I've chosen for you? Again, that's Isaiah chapter 58. To share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out. And when you see the naked, that you cover him, and hide not yourself from your own flesh. In other words, you realize in the giving up of your life, you don't turn your eyes from the needs of others. You see those needs and fulfill the needs. Notice, then your light shall break forth like morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and He will say, "Here I am." If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking of wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones, and you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to dwell in. Friends, your life is to be a life filled with God and flowing with God among each other. It is to be a life that is flowing with God to others. Do you realize what a beautiful life you've been called to? Do you realize what God is wanting to do in your life and the lives of those He is calling around this world to change the world, because we have a conviction and a belief that there is one Lord, that there is one God, that in Him we live and that we move and have our being? And He wants to be bringing us together and reconciling things that are apart. So when we come together with our fasting and our praying, it is not to exploit, it's to lay down ourselves. It's to come to a conviction before God of who we are, so that we can have an intimacy of relationship with Him and get rid of the things of this flesh that are holding us back from being at one with God. Jesus prayed, "Father, that they would be one as You, Father, and I are one, that they may be one in us." Do you appreciate that? That your Lord Jesus Christ wants you to be of a unity and of a mind and of a heart of oneness with Him. That in the direction and the way that we live our lives, it is all for God's glory. And what God is bringing about is an amazing process of redemption and salvation that comes through His Son. And friends, He wants you to be a part of it. So as we receive our calling, I've been challenging you. I will continue to challenge you. Are you spending time with the Lord in fasting and prayer for the purpose that you exist on this earth? Are you seeking Him in fasting and prayer for those who need help on this earth? For those who need the grace of God to come boldly to His throne for grace? Turn with me over to the book of Acts, chapter 10. When we were talking about fasting a couple weeks ago, we read these verses. The story of Cornelius, who was a man who was given to God, a Gentile, a centurion of the Italian regiment, verse 1. And in Acts chapter 10, verse 2, it describes Cornelius as a devout man, one who feared God with all his household, and gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. And about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, "Cornelius." And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" And so he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do." So when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near to the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance And he saw heaven opened, and an object like a great sheet bound at four corners descending to him and let down to him. And in it were all kinds of four-footed animals of earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything unclean or common." A voice came to him again and said, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven. Now, while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, "Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?" And they said, "Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you." Then he invited them in and lodged them. And on the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied. And so they went. And it was explained to Peter while Cornelius was fasting what happened. And the vision that Peter had was put into context with Cornelius and what God was determining to do to pour his Spirit upon the Gentiles. That what was common that God has cleansed would not be called common or unclean any longer. He made a circumcision not with hands of the flesh, but by the Spirit of God, the work of Christ in the heart of the people. Now, I'm showing you this because what is being recorded here in Acts chapter 10 is a very dynamic thing that's taking place. And it was taking place in a context of men devout to God. Men who were in prayer and fasting. Men who were giving themselves to God. Who were being instructed in what to do and how God was going to bring this together. And what began with men fasting and praying and being devout to God and God seeking them out ended up becoming a huge revival of Gentiles and bringing them in and bringing life to people that were not Jews physically. They were not of the circumcision, but of the uncircumcision. God was doing an awesome work in bringing these men together. And he did it with a vision, the visitation of an angel, and the Spirit of God speaking. They wanted God in their lives. And God wanted to be in their lives. The promise is sure and true that if you seek God, He will be with you. The promise is also true that if you forsake God, He will forsake you. God is looking to be a part of your life. God is looking to be involved in your life to make you exactly the person He wants you to be. And to engage you in this process. Now, last week when we were talking about God speaking to us, we were talking about that. I actually got a lot of questions in regard to it. So we might cover some of those here today. But our expectation is that the things that Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would do to lead us, to guide us, to testify of Jesus, to bring glory to Him, that this would be a part of our lives. So I ask you, is your life being led by the Spirit of God? Is God directing you in the way that you should go? Are you allowing God to be engaged in you all the time? Are you wanting to see God in your work and in your play, in your laughing and your crying? Are you wanting to have God dwell in every aspect of who you are? You see, it's awesome as we engage with God further and further how we become the body we are to be, responding to the head, Jesus Christ, for the edification of one another in love. Back in 1995, I was traveling. I had just flown into O'Hare Airport. I lived in Chicago at the time. And for me in those days, I was traveling quite a bit. It was very common for me to go out on a Sunday or Monday, and then not return home till maybe Wednesday, Thursday, later in the week. And so the time in the airport drive, which was about an hour and 20 minutes, was a great time to pray, to be alone in a car with God. And I was praising and praying to God as I drove home. And as I was about halfway home, I didn't hear an audible voice, but as much as somebody could speak and communicate a thought that my brain could register, I was told there's bad news in the family, that I would receive this bad news upon arriving home, and that it's going to be okay. That it's all going to be all right. Now, as I had this voice and heard this voice, I was very much, what is it? What's the bad news? I want to know. What is it, God? And it was sufficient. What I knew was sufficient. There was bad news in the family. I was going to receive the news when I arrived home, and that it was all going to be okay. So, as I got home, I pulled into the driveway, opened the garage door. The garage door is going up. I start to slide my car into the garage. And before I even stop moving the car, my wife opens the door to the garage. And she's standing there waiting for me to finish parking. And I open the door, and as I'm standing right outside my car, she says, I got a call from Maria, my sister, who we've been praying for, who's been in much sickness this last year and really last years. Maria called. Elise, who was newborn, has a hole in her heart, and they need to fix it. Now, I didn't know the news, but I knew there was going to be news. And I just looked at Stephanie and said, I know, and it's all going to be okay. And the ministry that I was able to perform was to go into the house, to call my sister, to tell her. I was in prayer, and the Lord came to me, and He said, we're going to get bad news, and I'm going to get it when I get home, and it's all going to be okay. And to give her the assurance from God that the surgery, what Elise was going to go through, it was going to be okay. And I'm looking at Elise right now. She was going to be okay. Now the thing is as sure as I am about anything, when a word of the Lord comes to you and you know it's not from your own thought and you know it's not from your own reasoning or logic, and you have it from the Lord, it's more sure than anything you know. And you realize that what you are really doing in your times of fasting and prayer and even reaching out into the Word of God, you're wanting to hear the voice of God, because what we hear from Him is sure. The promises of God are valid. And what we take to God in His Word of promise with the blood of Jesus Christ is true and sure. And when the Lord says, this is the way it's going to be, this is the way it's going to be. And God wants us to be engaged in the process, to be preparing ourselves for service and ministry to someone else, that we can be engaged in the process. Because the words of faith you speak of what God has spoken are the words of faith that create faith. How does faith come? By hearing. Thank you. And by hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It is the words of God that inspire faith. It is the words of God that bring about conviction. It is the Word of God that ministers grace into the hearts and minds of mankind to create in us the life that He is forming. God spoke and the earth existed. From nothing came something by the Word of God. The creative Word of God in your life, in my life, will create something new in us too. It creates new life in us. Friends, you are God's new creation. You are the one He's working on. He is molding and shaping you, bringing you into the image of Christ, that you may behold His glory, and that you yourself can be glorified. You were called to be raised to glory in Him. And we have that glory not by seeking to attain for ourselves, but through humility, laying down our life before Him. God wants us engaged in the process. God wants us engaging with Him in what He's doing. Several years ago, I was sent on a trip to Argentina. And I say sent because if you would have known me, you would know that I don't like to go to countries where they don't speak English. At least not that. I am okay with it now. Well, maybe. But anyway, my wife's shaking her head no. So, but the thing is, I didn't really want to travel to any country. I saw no need to go to a country where they didn't speak English or where I couldn't speak the language. But I was told to go to Argentina in another time of prayer and worship, that this was what I was going to do. I was certain, but I didn't like what I was hearing. And so, going and being sent, I realized what it was to have a conviction that didn't make any sense to anyone else but me. A conviction that sent me on a journey that I'm sure would cause confusion in anybody that I told, well, this is why I'm going. Somebody who doesn't like to travel, to go to a place he's never wanted to go, but doing it because of a conviction. And what God did with my life there was to take me in a place where the understanding basically was coming by the Spirit. I didn't understand the language. I didn't understand all the people. I had translators who would help me understand. But the thing was, I never felt more weak or helpless or incapable in an environment in my life. I felt out of sorts, and yet I was completely at peace and comfortable with where I was. Because the whole purpose of me being there was because I was sent. I remember we were reading in Acts 13 a few weeks ago that the disciples were together, they were fasting, they were praying, and as they were praying, the Spirit said, "Separate from me Paul and Barnabas for the work I called them to do." Paul and Barnabas, I'm sure, were very confident in what was going on because the Spirit had spoken to them about what they were to do, and they knew the work that they were to go on. So while I was there in Argentina, I had many opportunities to minister. But one of the things that was amazing was everything I thought, okay, Lord, while I'm here, I'm going to go pray for people at the hospital. And I got brought to the hospital and, oh, you can't come in. We're going to go to the prison and pray for people. No. They won't let you in. Not that I recommend to this group of people that you're striving to get into prison, but I was trying to get in. They wouldn't let me. And then I realized, as we were looking at all the opportunities to serve and the doors were shutting, that all I really needed to do was start praying. And I sat at a table and we had basically blew the whole morning trying to figure out how to serve. And then we started praying. And as I was praying with another person who was a translator to help me that day, a person came up and said, "I see that you're praying and I need prayer. Would you pray for me?" And she asked me that about noon. And she was the only person around. But after we finished praying for her and the Spirit working to give understanding and guidance in the prayer, another person came, and another person came, and another person came, and another person came, and I just basically stayed in a room and prayed for people for 8 hours. I didn't have to go anywhere. The next day I got up and I tried to go minister somewhere where I wanted to go. No. You can't come in here. I learned faster. So it was still in the morning time, about 10 a.m. Well, yesterday when it didn't work, pray. So let's pray. Prayed. Same thing happened. A young woman came up and said, "I'm in need of prayer. Could you pray for me?" We went to a place where they had set aside at this church that I was visiting for prayer, and I prayed for people. And starting about 10, we finished up at about 11 that night. I never took a break. I just prayed in that room, and people after people came. And it taught me something about me. I don't have to go out with intention to do things. I need to seek God and allow Him to bring forth the opportunities for ministry. That ministry is not about me. It's not about my ego. It's not about what I can do. It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with submission to Him and His will and His glory and His direction. And that's the way it has to be. You are sitting in a church not because I wanted to buy a church. You're sitting in a church because God determined that this church would be bought and that He would pay for it. That's why you're here. That is why you are sitting in these seats now that this church has. Because it was not of heart or design to be buying a church. It was of God's design, and He just did it. He did it. I had no business getting involved in this project. There was no logical reason. Now, you don't wake up in the morning and say, let's buy a big church building. At least I don't. I didn't. But what did we do? We prayed and we fasted as a church. Do you remember church? We prayed and we fasted as a group for whatever the Lord would direct. And then the Lord spoke by the mouth of two or three witnesses and we bought the church. We have to be this way in everything. We have to give our hearts and our minds and our lives dedicated to God. You know, when you read this in Isaiah chapter 58 about this day of fasting, it's so amazing that what he was dealing with was a people that was going through religious motion and not loving their neighbor. And he said, if you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking of wickedness, do you know in the Christian church it's so easy to get involved because we see the standard of God to start pointing fingers? That's not the spirit in which we need to approach the throne of God. Friends, everything you can identify that you think is wrong in somebody else, just realize maybe you have a glimpse of an opportunity to go to bat for somebody else, to love them instead of condemning them. Friends, there is nothing that plagues a church that is seeking to follow the ways of God like self-righteousness and judgment to cloud a relationship with God when all God is wanting to do with us is work with us to develop us to be the people He called us to be by His grace. And we can look with our logic and our reason, even using the Bible, and we can miss the fact that God is going to work through a lot of stuff with people. And praise be to God that He does that for us. Jesus said, the way you measure out will be measured back to you. Jesus said, if you forgive others, you'll be forgiven. Jesus said, serve. Lay down your life as a sacrifice. He said, being reviled, he reviled not. Jesus laid down His life as a sacrifice. What we are learning to do as we come before Almighty God is we are discovering what real life is. That it is based in a way of love where our lives are given in service and dedication to other people. And if we all together are building up before God to come before Him to yield ourselves in service, then the atmosphere and attitude in this room will be one of love and care and hospitality. It will be one of sharing and service. And God will use each of us for whatever ministry He's called us to do. I don't want you to give up if you've prayed the last couple weeks and you're not hearing what to do. I challenge you to keep going to God to seek His face for what He wants of you, but just seek His face to know Him. You don't have to be seeking the particular ministry. You need to be seeking Almighty God and allowing God to lead you in the ministry that He wants you to have. Another day that I was there back in Argentina, there was a time I had an opportunity to pray for a group of people. And I was going down and they were just sitting and they asked if I would just lay hands on them and pray as the Spirit led. And I was praying for these people who come in off the streets. And I don't know who they are, what relationship they have with God at all, but all I knew was that they had made their way to the church. And that they were poor and stricken, and they were there for help. And friends, I never saw poverty like I did there. Some of the poorest areas with potholes bigger than cars. Like if you had driven your car down the street and hit the pothole, your car wouldn't be coming back out. And buildings were crumbling. This is a way of life we're not used to here in the United States. But they made their way to the church. And as I was praying down a row of people, there was a woman who walked in. And as soon as she walked in, I looked over at her and I immediately felt anger. I felt like an indignation. And I returned to praying. I thought, that's weird, Lord. What am I feeling that way? And I continued praying around the room. And as I got down to the other end, there she was. And as I looked at her, I was feeling this indignation. And it was just such a strange thought. I was like, this is not the way I would feel to somebody I just saw for the first time in my life. But she wanted prayer, and so I reached out and I touched her. And as I touched her, I had an insight into her life. And the insight was, this woman was suffering from a belief in her inferiority to the point where she could not see the glory of Christ in her life. All she could see was her sin and how she was unworthy and how she couldn't serve God. And I realized the anger was, the spirit of oppression that was on her was to the point that it was making the sacrifice of Christ has no effect, because the faith in Him was not greater than the faith in her own inferiority. I know there's some of you that sit in this room right now that have that very feeling. I know there are those of you that are suffering right now because your sin in your eyes and in your evaluation is so much bigger than the sacrifice of Christ, you can't receive His love for you. And it's plaguing your life. You have guilt because of hidden sins. You have shame because of things that you have done. And the sacrifice of Christ has not been applied in your life to the point where that's been removed. And friends, if you are facing that, I'm telling you there is remedy. And His name is Jesus Christ. There is remedy for what is ailing you right now. And there is shame that goes back, that you are holding, that you have inside of you, that can't be freed other than by Christ. And the longer you go trying to cover it up with band-aids and not allowing the love of God to come into your life, the longer you're going to muddle through life without peace, without joy, without really understanding who God is. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We come to church not to pretend to be good. We may do that, but that's not why you should come. We come to church because we acknowledge the need of God. We need Him. And without Him, we are lost. And day by day, we renew our faith and belief in Him, and we come before Him because we're desperate. We live in a state of desperation before God, and it drives us to fast and to pray and to drink in of His Word. And we do it not because we're checking off a box of discipline. We are doing it because we need Him. We need God. And when this woman came into that room, she was desperate. She needed Him. And she needed deliverance right then. And so the revealing of her heart was for the purpose of ministry, for the deliverance that was needed that day. And I did rebuke that spirit, and I did set her free in the name of Jesus Christ by His power right then. And as I laid hands on her and prayed for her, she began, as you can probably imagine, crying profusely. She was sobbing. And she fell down, and others that were there ministered to her. And I was just ministering to her, and then they gathered around her, and ladies were gathering around her, and they were just trying to comfort her through the experience she was having. And as we waited for her to recover, and we were praying and talking, and she gathered herself, she came back to me, and she said, I wasn't going to come here tonight. She said, I was supposed to be at this meeting. It was plan, but she said, I had determined that after my day, I wasn't going to go to church to minister. How could I pretend to serve anybody else when I am so was so weak and so doubting? What do I have to give to anybody? And she said, I started to cry and seek the Lord, and she said, as I prayed, he said, go to church. There's a man there who will pray for you and set you free this night. She came because he directed. I was there because he directed. It had nothing to do with any goodness in me, I assure you. My nature is worse than any man's nature, let it be said. I don't find goodness in myself. I find the Lord in me can do amazing things for someone else and change their life. But what we do in our lives matters. What we do in the places that we take before the Lord matter. And I've got to tell you, there are many days where I speak and I can hear a word immediately, and there are times I speak and I don't hear for months. And I've had these times repeatedly throughout the last 20 years of seeking God, having the word and not. But the thing is, through your seeking, friends, you and me are being humbled before the presence of God to see, will we look to Him for the direction of what we're going to do in our lives? Where are you going to go? As Scott said and quoted from the words of the Lord to Elijah, what are you doing here? Where are you going to go? Do you want the Lord to show you the way? I'm telling you that the relationship that you can have with the Lord is meant to grow. I'm trying to encourage you to see that there is more if you're seeking more. That there's nothing special about any one of us. What makes us special is Him. What takes us into standing is Him. And what makes us ready for service is Him. But what we must do is first come before Him ourselves. I'm asking you to come up today when we offer for prayer and ministry for anybody that is holding things inside of them that needs to be delivered. If you say that, yes, it is shame that is creating doubt in me, that there is hidden sin, that there are things that are preventing me from having a relationship with you, God, I'm asking you to come up for ministry today. I'm asking that you would come. And I'm asking that we would all pray for those who need to come. I assure you, they're here. There are those who just need to let go of what it is and let go of the things that have bound and chained life. Let life spring forth. Let life spring forth. God says, the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a water garden and like a spring of water whose water do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. This is the work of Christ wanting to do in you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Father, we thank you so much for the word that you speak to the people that are here and the conviction that you give by your Spirit. And Father, we need your Spirit to be poured upon us that we may be convicted of our sins, that we may be convicted of what is right, and that we may come before the Holy Righteous One, the One that you sent and the One who you have raised up to sit at your right hand, Jesus the Christ, that we could be freed from the things that bind us, the things that keep us from you, and that, God, we would learn what it is to come before you with peace of heart and mind to seek your guidance and direction. Father, I pray, Father, that you would please bring those who are burdened of heart and mind who can see they do not have peace of heart and mind, that you would bring them before your holy throne here today. that you would call and that you would chasten and that you would encourage, God, that they could be freed from their sin and freed to have a new life in you. And that everything we do, God, would be in dedication to you. I pray that your Spirit would be in this place, and as you provided a spirit of reflection this day, God, that you would just cause that reflection to come before you, and that you, Father, would just pour your glory now on this place. Receive our offerings of praise that we give to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.